Welcome each and every person. We welcome you to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ for our evening worship. We're thankful that God blessed us to come to assemble as a called out body of believers. Amen. If you are visiting among us on this evening, we are happy that you are here. And certainly we encourage you to come and be with us as often as your schedule will permit. My name is Ray Wilkerson. I am the assistant minister here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and I do want to again take this opportunity to be grateful for the opportunity to stand and speak on this evening. We started out at the beginning of the year, and we are journeying through the Bible, 365 days through the Bible. Last two times that I got up, I did not actually give you an update on where we are on our journey through the Bible, but I hope that you'll continue to journey with us. Pick up your Bible and read, and we'll meditate upon and pray about and talk about the Word of God on a day-to-day basis. But I tell you, we're in the last quarter of the year, and it's moving rapidly. And if you miss a day, sometimes it becomes easy to miss 2 days, and then 2 months, 3 weeks, and 4 days. But pick up your Bible, and let's start reading again, journeying through the Bible. And we just happen to be in Jeremiah chapter 20 in our read through the Bible, as well as in 2 Timothy chapter 1. So there's a wonderful, wonderful word of God here. And we just want to make sure that we hide the word of God in our hearts, that we might not sin against him. Brother Thorne spoke on this morning, and he did an excellent job in trying to get us to see the reverence that we ought to have and the energy and the enthusiasm to come to worship God. We got to be careful about it, because sometimes we feel like when we walk in, well, God, you know, I'm here. It's not about us. It's about the great God that we serve. And it's not an easy job to continue to preach and teach the word of God. And we want to encourage all of the preachers and the teachers to preach and teach the word of God. Where we happen to be on this day, reading through the Bible, is Jeremiah chapter 20, as I said, on the Old Testament, and 2 Timothy chapter 1 in the New Testament. And I want to drop down and reread for emphasis sake. And I'm reading from the King James translation, Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. The Bible says, "Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay." Jeremiah came to the point in his ministry where he said, you know, I don't want to even preach the word of God anymore. And I'll tell you something. Preaching the word of God, teaching the word of God, and trying to show it to the members of the family of God is not an easy job. It is hard to keep on preaching and teaching the word of God. Jeremiah found, with a stubborn, a hard-headed, hard-hearted people of God. And Jeremiah said, I'm just not going to do this anymore. I'm tired. I'm not going to do it, because these people are causing me trouble. Just happened to be on last Lord's Day, we looked at the book of James, and James was talking about hard times, and hard times certainly will come in terms of our circumstances. We have loss of loved ones in our family. We have financial difficulty. We have all of the problems in the world that other folk have. But that was one kind of problem that James was dealing with when he was talking about maturity. The other part was dealing about members of the family of God, that we need to grow up. Anybody need that? And I said that I need to grow up, and a whole lot of y'all came up and congratulated me and shook my hand out the head and said, you sure do need to grow up. But guess what? I know that, and I'm not the only one. There is room. And Jeremiah, bumping his head against a bunch of hard-headed people trying to preach and teach the word of God, he said, I'm just not going to preach it anymore. And he tried not to. He tried to sit down. But have you ever been in a situation where somebody need to say something? Somebody ought to say something. We need to stand up for the word of God. when we hear people misusing the word of God, misapplying the word of God, and you're trying to sit there and you're trying to be quiet, well, somebody ought to say something. And Lord have mercy, I have an opinion and I know what the word of God says. And if my opinion is different from what the word of God says, I'm going to stand with the word of God. And sometimes you don't have a choice but to be jealous about the word of God. This is what thus said the Lord. Let's hold on to God's word. Let God be true and every man a lie. God be true and every man a lie. That's right. Paul wrote it. Paul said, "Let it go." But now listen. You know, we like illustrations. You heard this about 50 times, because I probably said it about 10 times myself. There was a brother that they were having trouble with in the church that he was cussing. You got any cussing brothers around here? Got any cussing sisters around here? And they came and told the preacher, "Brother, you know, that brother cussing all the time. Somebody ought to say something to that brother." And they said, "Well, what did brother like to do?" "Well, he likes to fish." They said, "All right, you know, I'm going to go fishing with him and I'll get him out on the water and we'll talk." And they got out there, got in the boat out in the deep water out there. And every time the guy threw his reel off in the water, it looked like he rolled in at a fish. And the preacher was sitting there and he hadn't caught nothing. Didn't even have a nibble almost all of the day. And it's getting late. The sun is falling. And it's all of a sudden his reel bent over. The rod bit, and it's like he's fighting with this fish, and it's a big one, and he pulls it all the way up to the boat and everything, and the boat pulls it up, and he's the biggest fish that has been caught all day, and the cussing brother was sitting right there, and they were both looking at the fish as he flipped off into the water. And the preacher looked at the brother. He said, "Brother, somebody ought to say something." There's a time when somebody ought to say something. Let God's people speak the word of God. Let God be true and every man a lie. But it's hard dealing with hard-hearted people. And this is what Jeremiah happened to face in Jeremiah chapter 20. Now you back up a little bit in Jeremiah chapter 20, but let's go to verse number 10 first. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 10. The Bible says, "For I heard the defaming of many. Fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge upon them." Jeremiah said, "Them folks just sitting around, they looking at me." You ever had any people watching you? People just watching you, and they are not watching you for good. "Oh, I'm going to get him." And he said, all of these folks are sitting around watching me. People looking at me. They are defaming me. They're talking about me. People watch you and talk about you. What do you do? When people are watching you, people are talking. Now, we can't control what people say. We cannot control what people think. But what we can control is whether what they say is true. That depends on us. It doesn't depend on other people. They watch Jesus, and the folk will keep on watching you. But remember this, in Matthew's gospel, the 12th chapter and verse number 36, the Bible says, "But every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account of in the day of judgment." Do you know we are going to be judged by every word that we speak? Amen. So the Ecclesiastes writer said in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, "Let thy words be few." We better watch what we say sometimes, because our words are going to come before us in judgment. And here, Jeremiah, dealing with hard-hearted, stubborn people. Boy, isn't it good that this is all about in the Old Testament? We can learn from those kind of people. Because do we have any of those in the church? I'm talking about under the modern dispensation. Hard-hearted, stubborn people. And here, it's an amazing thing. Jeremiah said, I'm just not going to preach anymore. These folk, and I mentioned this the other day, I hear people say, they're getting on my last nerve. And I say, how do you know which one is your last nerve? That's always curious to me. Which one is your last nerve? So all of my nerves been touched. They probably been on the last one before, but I probably got on yours too. So that's all right. But listen, we're going to give an account. The Bible shows in Luke chapter 6 that they were watching Jesus. And I'm going to tell you, when people are watching you, this is a sad, sad commentary. Sometimes they're not watching you for good. In Luke chapter 6, In verse number 7, the Bible says, and the scribes and the Pharisees watched him. And it's like they're watching Jesus. And look what they watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. What's wrong with making a man every bit whole? And they just sitting back looking. All right, okay, yeah, we're going. What's wrong with doing God's word, recovering a man, recovering a sister, helping somebody to be whole? And they're watching him. Let's see what they're going to do. Notice, they watched whether he would heal on the Sabbath day. But notice, they were watching because they wanted to have something to accuse him for. That's a sad commentary. God's people ought not ever get to the point where we sitting back, oh yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm going to jump in. We're doing double dutch with all of our anger and hostility. Oh, I'm in it. Yeah, I got you now. Listen. That is not to be the kind of people under the old law, and it's certainly not to be the kind of people that we ought to be under the new law. Amen. Oh man, Lord have mercy. We've got to make sure that we keep on edifying one another, building one another. That's the job that we're in. Edifying, building up the kingdom of God, building up the members of the family of God. But I'm going to tell you, do you know that God knows everything that's going on? Now, go back now and to Jeremiah chapter 20, and let's back up this train a little bit, and let's go all the way back to verse number 1. There's some good stuff in here. We happen to be studying through the book of Jeremiah in our class across the street on the floor in the gym, and it's just a marvelous study. It's an amazing study. But the over and over thing that we see with Jeremiah, and some say that he was the most unsuccessful preacher that has ever preached, because he preached for 40-something years, and he had very little response in terms of positiveness to his speaking. But, you know, here's the thing. Whether people accept it, whether people don't accept it, it's still the preacher's job to preach. Amen. And don't let somebody discourage you. Speak the truth. Because if we don't have the truth, how can we have any possibility of correcting what needs to be corrected in our lives? And you know, we're good about correcting what's in other folks' lives. I can tell you everything's wrong with you from A to Z. But do we bear that same reflection about our individual lives, about ourselves? Let's turn that focus inward and let's start with ourselves. Before we take the speck out of the brother's eye, take the plank out of our own life. Does that not make sense? Let's book, brother. Let's get ourselves right. Now notice, in Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 1, the Bible says, now Pashur, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of the Lord, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Jeremiah was going and saying, like, look, God said, we're going into Babylonian captivity. Look, we're not going to stay here. The people that are going to be saved are not the people going to stay here and fight or try to escape and go somewhere else over into Egypt or Syria. No. God says go over into the Babylonian captivity. And Pashur heard this and he was upset and angry with what Jeremiah was preaching, even though Jeremiah was certifying to them, this is not my word, this is God's word. I don't have a choice. I've got to preach God's word. But Pashur, whose name actually happens to mean prosperity, it means prosperity all around. And it's interesting because God's going to change his name. Now, if God changes our name, Lord have mercy, don't we want it to be a name of glorious name, a name of acceptance? But Jeremiah is going to have a word personally for Pashur. No, notice what happens. In verse number 2, Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 2, the Bible says, then Pashur smote Jeremiah the prophet, put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of the Lord. Oh, you're going to preach the word of God? We're going to lock you up in the house next to the house of God. Now let me hear what you got to say. We're going to lock you. You can put us in jail. Put us in the stocks, put it around the neck, but God's word is not hindered. Amen. Keep on preaching. Keep on teaching what thus saith the Lord, and everybody has to reconcile him or herself to the word of God. They locked him up. In verse number 3, the Bible says, and it came to pass on the morrow that Pashur brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Now he go bring him out. He got him all locked up like an ox in stocks. All right. And can you see this? What you going to say now? What you got to say now? Oh, Lord. All right. I got to repeat this now for 5 more minutes. All right. What you going to say now? It's an amazing thing. Then said Jeremiah unto him, you locked up the preacher. You brought him out. What you going to say now? What you going to say, brother? What you going to talk about? What you going to teach? Are you going to be quiet? Remember in verse number 9, he said, I tried not to say nothing. I'm trying to be quiet, but somebody got to say something. Notice he says, then said Jeremiah unto him, the Lord hath not called thy name for sure. Your name says prosperity all around, but that's not the name that God has given. Has anybody ever given you a name? Is it a good? No, don't call that the names. No, sometimes folk will give us names, right? Well, I got a name for you. And here Jeremiah said, God has changed your name. Your name is not prosperity on all sides. Now, this is the verse of scripture that I really wanted to lead off with, but I didn't want to throw this verse on somebody unprepared. Okay. He says, Magor Misabib. Magor Misabib. That's what your name is. Your name is Magor Misabib. Your name is not Pashur. Your name is Magor Misabib. You know what that means? Instead of prosperity on every side, a terror. You are terror around everybody. You are terror on every side, not prosperity. You don't bring peace. You don't bring love. You don't bring understanding. You are a terror. Ooh, would you say that to the people of God? You are a terror. God has changed your name. God knows our name, brother. Listen, notice he says, behold, for thus saith the Lord, verse number 4. Behold, I will make thee a terror to thyself and to all thy friends and to all that shall fall by the sword of their enemies. And thy eyes shall behold it, and I will give Judah into the hand of the king of Babylon, and he shall carry them captive into Babylon and slay them with the sword. He said, you're going to be a terror to everybody around you. You are a terror. He says, everybody around you going to have trouble. And not only is it not prosperity, I'm changing your name. He says, everybody around you going to suffer. Lord, have mercy. He says, all the people, verse number 5, moreover, I will deliver all the strength of this city and of all the labors thereof and all the precious things thereof and all the treasures of the king of Judah will I give into the hand of their enemies, which shall spoil them and take them and carry them to Babylon. And he goes on to tell him, Pashur, you, your children, and all that you got going to end up and y'all going to die in Babylon. How dare you stand up against the word of God? Don't resist the word and the will of God. Man, can we run over to 2 Timothy?
What up?
Let's go to 2 Timothy then. All right. Thank you, Levi. I heard you. You said go on. That brother said go on. go to 2 Timothy because it's an interesting thing because here Paul actually dealing up with some of the same kinds of stuff in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7. Listen, brothers. Listen, sisters. Don't worry about folk. Don't worry about people. We got opinions. We got attitudes. But you know what really makes a difference? Nothing but the word of God.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what people say, think, or feel, or believe. You know what matters? It's the word of God.
Amen.
And let's make sure that we rightly divide the word of God.
Amen.
Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 7, the Bible says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear.
Amen.
Every time we come into contact with God, God says, fear not.
Amen.
Don't be afraid.
Amen.
I'm not going to worry about folks. Don't worry about people. You know who we need to be concerned about? We need to be concerned about the perception of God.
Amen.
And not me.
Amen.
Let's please God. Let God be true. And every man alive. Let's worship and praise God. We don't worship and praise individuals. We don't worship and praise people. We worship and praise God. But now, why did Paul write this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, back up to verse number 6? He says, listen, he's telling the young evangelist, he says in verse number 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee, by the hands of my putting on of my hands. Paul says, look, stir it up. Stir up the gift of God that is in you.
Amen.
Use your gift. And I said this on the last Lord's Day when I was preaching. Don't let somebody keep you from shooting your shot.
Amen.
Take your shot. Do the work that God has called for us to do.
Amen.
Stand up for Jesus.
Amen.
Teach the word of God. Preach the word of God.
Amen.
Because it's the word of God that will correct us if we will be corrected.
Amen.
Corrected unto salvation.
Amen.
You got to do what God has called for us to do. We've got to do what God has called for us to do. He says in verse number 8 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord.
Amen.
And of me, his prisoner. You know what? Folk were going around talking about Paul. Paul is your, he in jail. Paul is locked up. What? You going to hold on to what Paul teaches? He in jail. Listen, like I said, Jeremiah went to jail. Paul in jail. If you stand up for the word of God, it does not mean people are going to like you.
Right.
You know, it doesn't mean that people are going to like us if we stand up for the word of God, but preach the truth. The truth. Paul is the one to ask the question, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? He said, you know what? The more I love you, the less I am loved. But listen, whether people love it or lump it, did you catch that? Love it or lump it? What do? Preach and teach the word of God.
Amen.
Our Bible says in Ecclesiastes 9 and 10, he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, I said that last week. It's not in the sermon this week, but remember I said that last week. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do it how? Do it with all your might. Why? We're headed to the grave. And you can't work in the grave.
Amen.
Do what you're going to do for God now.
Amen.
Praise God. Shame the devil. That's not in the Bible, y'all. But
right.
You know, we say that stuff all the time.
Yeah.
In Luke chapter 12, in verse number 32. Boy, it's some good stuff. It's some good stuff. What time the Astros play, y'all? Are they playing now? Luke chapter 12, in verse number 32. Look at this. Here's again one of those verses of scripture where the Lord tell us, fear not, little flock. Don't you worry about nothing. All right. Now, y'all thought I was going to get you through all of this and you were going to have a chance to say something to the folk on it. You know I get you to help me. So turn to the people closest to you around you and say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid,
brother. Don't be afraid. Stand up for God.
Amen.
Don't be afraid. Don't you dare worry about people.
Amen.
Stand up for God.
That's it.
And we certainly have our tremendous role, a tremendous responsibility. Don't you worry. Fear not, little flock. Why? For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom.
Amen.
If we continue to do what God has called for us to do, don't you know that God is going to bless us? What we're looking for is that one day with God.
Amen.
One day with God. That's all I want. Just one day with God. To hear him say, enter ye into the joy of your Lord. Man, that'd be worth it. That's all I want out of this life. Let me enter into the presence of God with rejoicing and thanksgiving. Because my God shall supply all your needs. If you're here tonight and never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, oh, you need to be in the body of Jesus Christ. No, there are no perfect people in the body of Christ.
Amen.
None of us are perfect. We're going on. We're moving on toward perfection. We're trying to grow up and mature in our relationship with God. But why don't you obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you have heard that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you repent of sins, if you confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you can be born of the water, born of the Spirit, born into the family of God. And you can show the rest of us how to live in harmonious relationship with the word of God. And boy, I tell you, we'll have that one day. Say, you don't know, it's just one day with God, but that's called eternity. That is the eternity in the presence of God. I've said this before. Brother, we don't have time to go to it, but you go back and you read the book of 1 John and we'll find out that eternal life is a quality of life that begins here. If we don't have that quality of life here, we can't have that one day with God there. You've got to have eternal life now in order to have that one day with God that never ends.
Amen.
So we come to God. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. The scripture says, confess your faults one to another. Pray one for another. James says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If you stand in need of prayer, if you need a request, then come as we stand and we sing the song that has been selected.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Or are you fully trusting in His grace? This hour you are in the blood of the Lamb. Or
are you washed
in the blood? In the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb.
All your garments spotless are they, white as snow. All you washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? In the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb, of the Lamb? All your garments spotless are they, white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul?